I'm certainly delighted to be here with you tonight and hope that the rest of the service will be as much of a blessing to you as it has been for me already. Appreciate all that the Lord has done through the Bakers, through the many years they've been serving Him, and all the many years they got yet to come. Amen? I said amen? Okay, so make sure you're, I think they're looking for, more things to continue to happen through their lives. He did mention he's not looking for retirement, but for refirement. And I think that's probably the a really good basic definition of revival. And certainly we all stand in need of that. What I'm going to do is I'm actually going to share a brief prayer request with you, and then I'm going to have the guys come up and share a word of testimony, and then my family will sing a couple songs, and then we'll jump right into the message this evening. But I'm certainly honored to be here with you and hope that, again, that the rest of the service will be a blessing to you, and that you and I will learn some things from the Scriptures of what God has in line and in mind for us. And so let me just say this. The prayer request is this. We are pursuing the potential to be able to relocate the mission. We have strived to do that once before, and thus far we've had closed doors as far as the city government and the people and the powers that be down there that would allow us to do that. They don't, there's plenty of people that don't mind buying our building. We don't have a problem selling the building. We don't necessarily even have a hard time finding another location as far as the facility that would be there. But what we struggle with and what we seem to have the roadblock and the obstacles in is being able to find another facility that we could make what we need it to be and then them allow us to do what we do where we are at a new location. You say, Brother Johnson, why do you want to move? Well, Pastor Thad just mentioned something a moment ago. We've got a building that was built in the early 1900s. And so when you feel that your house is old, just come down to the mission, walk around a little bit, and all of a sudden your place will look like, the best thing that ever came on the market. But the mission's been there a long time, and praise the Lord, we've been at that location since 1989, and we've seen literally tens of thousands of lives touched for the cause of Christ. And we have chapel every single night. We've got preaching's going on right now at the chapel. We're giving the gospel, and then we'll feed folks, and there'll be folks that are getting showers and place to sleep and different things like that. But it's my heart that we would be able to provide better resources and a better facility for those that are there and be able to utilize the resources better and be able to provide, just more, take it to the next level. That's the easiest way that I can explain it. We've got three floors plus the basement. Each floor is 7,700 square feet. And so we got the first floor, which is where our overnight guests stay. We've got our second floor, which is where our disciples and staff stay, which the guys stay on the second floor and so forth. And there's bathrooms on both of them. The kitchen's on the first floor. But we have an entire third floor, 7,700 square feet, that's done nothing, to my knowledge, since we moved there in 1989. I don't know a way to be able to utilize it. If I did, I probably would have already put that into action. It used to have a freight elevator that worked, many, many years ago, long before I came. It stopped working, but we don't have really a way to be able to use that additional space. But above all, we've got just really a lot of renovations, updates, and replacement that's needed for the facility there. And it would make more sense to be able to find a place and build that. Kind of like how Brother Baker said, it's kind of heartbreaking to see what they had been and done and lived in and worked on. All of a sudden, they just kind of wiped it out. We would love to see the opportunity for the Lord to open up for us to be able to find another facility, make it what we need it to be, have it all updated, have it all, set up like we need and so forth, and be able to move from where we are to there and not have to close our doors for any length of time whatsoever. But in order to make the updates and the needed repairs that at the current facility, I don't know how we would make that happen and still be able to operate. And I don't want to shut down. I don't want to have to close the doors and say, well, we can't see, there's not going to be anybody coming in for the next 2-3 weeks because we have to make these renovations. I don't think God's going to allow that to happen anyways. But my prayer request is this. Pray that God will have His will in His way if He wants us to move, to make it happen. If He doesn't want us to move, make it clear, we'll stay right where we are, and we'll just continue to pray, God, we need this fixed, and we need this fixed. It's not like He's surprised anyway. He already knows. But if you would pray with that, with me about that, that would be a great blessing and a help to me. And without further ado, I'm going to have the guys come and share a word of testimony. And I'm actually going to have Robert go first tonight.
I've always cut him a little slack, and every time whenever I call James first, he's back there and he's like, yes. And so I'm not going to cut him that leeway tonight, and he'll probably be mad at me, and so you pray for him that he won't be bitter as well. But Robert, come on forward and share a word of testimony, and we'll have him share testimony, and then James will come and share a word of testimony, and my family will sing. And again, thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to come and be with you guys tonight. Come on up, Robert. Let me just say this. One of the things that's a blessing to me is the guys that come to the mission. Not only did Christ die for them so that they go to heaven, he has a purpose for them, a plan. And it's my honor to be just part of their life in a small way to try to help them find out what that is. So, Robert, share a word of testimony, sir. Thank you.
Oh, you won.
Yes, sir. I'm sure you'll pay me back.
Good evening, family. It's a real honor to be here tonight, and for Brother Johnson and his family, and also just to be able to let y'all know a little bit about myself and also about the rescue mission. You see, I was rescued, you know. I was rescued. And truly grateful for the staff there. And first of all, I want to thank God that for Jesus for saving my soul. Second off, I want to thank each and every one of y'all in whichever kind of way you contributed to the Atlanta City Baptist Rescue Mission, because you actually say you took part in saving my life. For many years, I was on a self-destructive path. I started off at a young age drinking. About age 14, I started drinking, and as the years went on, I drank every weekend in high school, and then my father was in his service. So anyway, we lived different places. I ended up in Puerto Rico in my junior and senior year. And over there, it didn't matter how tall you were, as long as you had enough money to put it up on the counter, you could, when we went off base, you could drink. And started my drugs at about 16 years old. And I don't know when I crossed the line into addiction, but all the so-called fun and good times that I was having drinking and drugging all of a sudden turned into misery and pain and shame and guilt, and I just didn't, I wasn't raised in the church. I had no idea who God was. Although I do now.
Amen.
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 And, you know, I'm a carpenter by trade. I have several skills, good at painting, roofing, stuff like that. I like to work with my hands. And, you know, it was kind of ironic that I chose a carpenter's field because, you know, when you're out there and you're framing houses and stuff, just about everybody drinks and drugs, so it's kind of a natural thing, you know. After work, you sit around. If it's fire in the wintertime, you sit around a fire and drink. If it's not, you sit in it. But, you know, the thing of it is that I got really out of control. And my addictions took me further than I wanted to go, kept me longer than I wanted to stay, and cost me a whole lot more than I wanted to spend, you know. I got to the point where I got so far out there that I really thought that I was the only sane one. I was the only sane one in the world, and everybody else was crazy. But I was the one that was truly crazy. I want to let you know that y'all are all looking at a miracle standing up here. You know, I spent more years in my wilderness than the Israelites did in their wilderness, you know. I've done over 22 years behind bars. I've been in and out of many rehabs and institutions. But, you know, I never could really get it. I never did. In 1996, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I walked with Him for a number of years, and then I fell back, and then I'd come back, and I fell back. I became what they call a transgressor. And then I had preachers tell me that I really wasn't saved. But I know that night, August 29th in 1996, on my knees in Gwinnett County Jail, when I gave my life to Christ, that I was saved. And so I became, as the years went on, I became really confused about this. And I'm saying, well, how come I'm not saved? Why? One thing about the Atlanta City Baptist Rescue Mission, every night we hear the gospel. We don't get milk down there, brothers and sisters. We get the meat. And I was told that I was saved no matter how many times I fell back on God. And He never left me. I left Him many times, but He never left me. I ended up at Atlanta City Baptist Rescue Mission by a friend that knew about the mission. And I was on a binge, and I ended up in Atlanta. And so I came there, and for about a week and a half, I was coming in the evenings. Now, I would go out, I'd lay on the mats at night, and I would ask God, I'd say, please help me. You know, I said, I don't want to drink tomorrow. Well, within 2 hours of leaving the mission in the morning, I'd be drinking. And one day I got out and I got really intoxicated one morning quickly. And I was slamming beers. And anyway, so I went to this place that serves a hot lunch. And I seen a guy there named Robert. We had gone through another rehab program together. And I was in blackouts. I was going in and out. You know, I'd remember certain things. And I was sitting there, and I was talking. And I was probably more like drooling than Robert. But he was talking to me, and he said, Rob, you don't have to live like this, man. You know, he said, you don't have to. He said, you're better than this. He was telling me that God loved me. And, of course, I didn't want to hear that. When I'm intoxicated, I don't want to hear anything except where the next one is. You know, where's my next drink? And so I didn't want to hear that, so I got up and left, and I walked about from here to that door down the street. And I was right in the middle of Atlanta down there. And I was so drunk I couldn't walk anymore, so I just fell out on the sidewalk. You know, literally just fell out. And when I come to, my phone was ringing. Not this one, of course. Anyway, I woke up, and I answered my phone. It was my mom. And she was the one that had brought me to Atlanta to go into another rehab, but I didn't make it because I got drunk, so I ended up at the mission. But anyway, she started talking to me, and when I started mumbling and slurring, I heard two things. I heard her heart break, and I heard the phone click. And I rolled over, and I looked up at the sky, and I said, Jesus, help me. I don't know what to do. So he took me back to the mission, and some of the disciples there had been talking to me. And I told the disciple leader that I wanted to come into the mission the next morning. And he said, it's kind of funny. He told me, he said, you can't do it today because it's the luncheons today. And it's funny because 6 months later, I had to tell somebody else the same thing. That's why I'm laughing. But Charles told me, he said, you can't come today. So anyway, I did come to the mission. I stayed that night and went out the next day and came back that night, and I've been there ever since. And like I was saying, man, through the Atlanta City Baptist Rescue Mission, I know that I am saved. And that's probably the biggest thing that place ever gave me. You know, I have a wonderful staff there, people that I lean on and talk to. I just can't say enough about it, you know. And my relationship with my family, God has brought them back, you know. And matter of fact, my mom's coming to pick me up Thursday. I'm leaving the mission Thursday, and I guess it's time to move on, you know. And I just know that I have a purpose in my life, and that purpose is Jesus, you know, to serve Him. Because He's been so good to me, you know, not only this time, but many, many times before. And Brother Paul would, he'd see me out there and sometimes see this look on my face, and he'd say, "Come on in here." And I'd go in his office, he said, "Just sit down." And then he looked at me and say, "Breathe, you know, breathe just," and always a calmness, always have good, yeah, it's good to know Him. But today is my graduation day from the mission, and I want to read y'all what I wrote about a testimony, okay? Good evening, family. First off, I want to thank Jesus for saving my soul. I want to thank all of you, all that contribute to the Atlanta City Baptist Rescue Mission, however it is that you contribute, for saving my life. For I was on a path of self-destruction that was truly leading to death. I thank the staff at Atlanta City Baptist Rescue Mission for always having time to talk and counsel me in my times of need. Also for seeing in me the things that I didn't see. Some of the areas of my life that now I know needed to be exposed and, yes, worked on. Tasks to be done, which I knew I could not do, but staff taught me, with God, all things are possible. God is teaching me to seek wise counsel. The clients, those are the homeless that come in each night. The clients are each day my joy, for they have helped me to focus more on them than on myself. You see, for many years, it was all about me. And this led to pain, loneliness, disappointment, grief, and much more. Thanks to the Atlanta City Baptist Rescue Mission, I now have a purpose in my life. His name is Jesus. I know as long as I follow Him, I have nothing to fear, nor do I have to repeat my past. Amen. If no one told you today that they love you, remember that God does, and I do too. Thank y'all so much.
Amen. One of the things about the guys that come to the mission is they're just as much a regular person as you and I are. Amen. Come from all different walks of life, all different educational backgrounds, all different kinds of upbringing, and all different kinds of problems. James can share a word testimony.
Yes, sir. Hi, my name is James Blizzard. I've never been arrested. I've never used an illegal drug. I didn't even use alcohol until I could do it legally. I lived just south of the Canadian border, and it was drinking age was 19. But about a year, almost 2 years ago now, I had a stroke. And for the first time in my life, I didn't want to work. I didn't care that I didn't have a job. That's obviously a problem. I lived with my two ex-wives for a while until one of them gave me a ride into downtown Atlanta and dropped me off one day. For a lot of people, that would be the lowest point of their life, I think, is becoming homeless the day you become homeless. But for me, it led me to the Atlanta City Baptist Rescue Mission, which is definitely the high point of my life. I've never been anti-religious. I've never gone to church regularly, except for 6 weeks in Air Force basic training in the mid-80s. But I was never religious. I don't think I really believed in God, but that's changed. My time at the mission has made me a dedicated Christian. I look forward to getting out of the mission, which I will, like Rob is today. I'll be at that point in about a month and a half. And I look forward to finding a church and going every day. This one looks pretty good. I'm thankful for what they do at the mission. Like Rob said, the clients that come in every night, they come in at 4:30 and they're gone by 7 in the morning. And that has become the high point of my day, is dealing with these men who a lot of them are worse off than I am. Have issues with alcohol and drugs, and the mission is a safe place for them to come, where those things don't exist. And I'm grateful every day for the opportunity that I have to work with these men. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. I was born in Washington State, about as far from Atlanta as you can get and still be in the United States. I was in the Air Force for about 9 years, and finally got out. I worked so hard one day I didn't remember how I got home. I woke up the next morning, and no drugs or alcohol involved, but I didn't remember how I got home. So I decided that it was time for me to get out, and if I was going to work that hard, I could make real money on the outside. But I came to Atlanta to work for a company in Conyers, east of Atlanta, and I had a heart attack and a couple of strokes over the several years since I've been here, the stroke that put me on the street basically, I think was my third or fourth stroke, I don't remember exactly, but it's a challenging thing at the best of times. When you suffer a stroke and it takes away your desire to work, you can imagine how difficult that can make life. I had just started a new job when I had my stroke, so I lost that job. So I couldn't go to work for a little while, but I didn't care. It was probably the low point of my life, when I didn't care that I didn't have a job. I was living at the time with my ex-wife, who was very, very patient with me. If you can imagine having an ex-husband living in your basement who doesn't work. It took a year and a half for her to get tired of that and drive me into Atlanta. I'm grateful for her every day as well. She gave me more than enough time to get my life together, and I just didn't. But now I'm a month and a half from being where Rob is at, which is we're graduating from the mission. I'm eager to look for a job. If anybody needs a computer programmer, I'll be looking for a job in about a month and a half. It feels good to want to work again. It's been almost 2 years since I had that feeling to want to get up in the morning and go to get money, get a job, and get money. And it feels good for that. And I'm grateful for Mr. Johnson and all the staff at the mission for what they do every day. They come to work and deal with people with issues, issues like mine, issues like Rob's, some more difficult issues. I'm thankful for every day that they're there and doing what they do. So thank you very much for listening to me, and thank you.
Have my family come forward, and we'll